We've been talking about equipping us. How many of you know that the Bible says that it's the believers that do the work of the ministry? Come on. It's the believers that do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, healing the sick, praising God. And healing the sick includes helping people get free. Come on, helping those that are captive, helping those that are oppressed get free. Because how many of you know we got an enemy out there? Oh, yeah. Well, I just want to show you something. Years ago, I bought this little book. Tonight, we're going to talk about dealing with devils. We're going to talk about, come on, getting the devil under our feet where he belongs and out of the lives of people. And so years ago, I bought this little book. It's called Strong Man's His Name, What's His Game? And if you don't have a good, you know, there's a lot of stuff out on the devil, and it's all not really good, some of it. You have to be really careful about what you pick up, what you read. That's why we tell you that stuff in the faith store, you can bank on it. But this is a really good book. It's really old. I don't even know if it's still in print. It looks like it's a workbook, but it's not. But what I like about it is it's scriptural. And it talks about all the strong man, the actual spirits that are listed in the Bible and what things spring off of them. So it's very interesting. But if you don't have something good, then you need to get some things that help you get sharpened and perfected in the things of the kingdom, in the things of dealing with the devil, because it is true that we have an enemy. It is true that we have power and authority over him. But, you know, just like anything, we have to know how to be effective, how to use what Jesus gave us. And so we know that through the finished work of the cross, Christ has provided for complete healing for us. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. And when we look at the healing ministry, you know, the Bible says that Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. So when we look at the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus, it really includes what in today's terminology would be called deliverance or getting peace, setting the captives free. It includes that. Demons can. They are real. They can afflict people, demons, devils, evil spirits. They can afflict a person's spirit. They can afflict a person's soul. They can afflict a person's mind. They can afflict a person's body. And they do it through possession, oppression, affliction, and sickness, okay? And even Christians can be afflicted by devils. We have to know that. Now listen, God has equipped us that through the blood of Jesus, through the name of Jesus, through the word of God and the spirit of God, we can stay free. Hallelujah. We can stay free. But it is true that we can see that Christians can at times be afflicted. However, Christians cannot be fully possessed by the devil. Why is that? Because we've been bought by and now are of the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has possessed our spirit. God has possessed us wholly and fully, and so we cannot be possessed. And I want to just remind you that when I say that we've been bought and are now of the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means something. Come on, the bloodline of God is greater than any natural bloodline. Come on, it'll take away every generational curse. Come on, it'll take away every sickness that's run through your family for years. Listen, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to do that. So we must know that and have faith in that. But certainly we see that at times things happen, and certainly people that are without God or even without much knowledge of God can really be tormented by devils. Demons and devils, primarily, their goal is to inhabit people, okay? Now, they can do some things with objects and things, but you have to remember their ultimate goal is to get into the lives, to the bodies, to the hearts, to the minds of people. That is their goal. And so we have to remember that. I'm just going to share a couple things before we start off about the devil so that we set a good foundation here, all right? Because the truth is that the devil wants to mess with everybody, all right? Everybody. Everybody. The Bible says the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Anybody that he can find any entrance, any way. And sometimes he'll just be knocking at the door just to see if you'll open your door, just to see. So we have to remember this, that the devil messed with Jesus. You do remember that, right? When Jesus was out in the wilderness, I mean, the devil showed up, and I mean, he started all kind of talking to Jesus, tempting Jesus. He was messing with Jesus. Now, Jesus got the victory, praise God. But what I want you to know is we can't have shame about the devil trying to mess with people. And we can't let people feel shame. The devil doesn't mess with people just because they're bad people. See, if the devil can put condemnation on people, you know, not want people to know I'm dealing with something, might be the devil or demonic or something, and hide from that, then they're going to have a more difficult time getting free. So we have to understand that dealing with the devil is just part of our Christian life. All right? You know, we've already seen in the example in the Bible where when the guy at the lame gate was that way and he got raised up, you know, they were asking, what made this man this way? You know, why was he this way? And Jesus was like, don't worry about that. That's not what's important. We don't need to know. It wasn't the lame man, it was an afflicted man. And Jesus was like, hey, it doesn't really matter what's going on with him. You know, was it his sin or his parents' sin? That's not what's important. What's important is that we can identify the devil and that we know how to deal with him so that we can get him gone. Amen? So we have to realize that condemnation is not part of this. We also have to know that as Christians, we do have to be sensitive about talking about the devil. We have to be sensitive who we're talking to, what we're saying. You know, if you're talking to an unlearned person and you start talking a bunch of stuff about the devil, you're probably just very likely to scare them and it be more unfruitful than it really is helpful in their life. So be sensitive to that as you come up with people. Now, last week, Pastor Chaz talked about identifying different types of infirmities and whether people needed healings, whether they needed miracles, or whether they needed to be free of infirmities that were caused by evil spirits. And so we've recognized that it's important to be able to distinguish these things. And so there are kind of some rules or some general things that we can look at in helping us get effective in helping people get well. When we see a demon, when we identify a demon, we identify something of the evil realm that is afflicting, we have to know that it's going to have to be cast out. Okay, we're going to have to help them delivered. It's different from just praying a prayer for healing. If they're going to get healed, we're going to have to deal with the demonic influence that is at work in their life. Jesus was a master at dealing with devils. He was a master. Luke 4:36-37 says this. It says, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. So Jesus was effective in dealing with people that had devils. And now I say if Jesus was effective, then he wants us to be effective. If Jesus was masterful at dealing with evil spirits, we need to be masterful. We need to be skillful. We need to expect that because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit himself, has been put in us so that we can continue in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have to want to get good at identifying devils and knowing what to do with them in order to help people get free. And you remember, why are we helping people get free? Why do we want to be able to identify devils? Not so that we can have another notch in our spiritual belt. This is important. Not so that you can say, have a great story to tell about a devil that you ran into. No, we got to keep our motive right. Our motive is because we love people. And we want to help people. We want people to be free. We know that people don't have to be afflicted. And so we want to be able to be an instrument that the Lord can use to help people get free. And so if the cause of a physical or a mental illness or a disease is of a devil or of an evil spirit, we're going to have to cast it out. That's the rule. Now, last week, Pastor Chaz, in one of the examples he was talking about from the Bible, was Luke 13, where we saw the woman she'd been bound for 18 years, and the Lord said to her, be thou loosed, and laid his hands on her, and she straightened up. We see that the Lord had identified that the root of her being bent over, maybe it was arthritis, maybe who knows what it was, but that the root of that was that sickness, that ailment, was rooted in the fact that she was dealing with a spirit of infirmity, an unclean spirit, an evil spirit. And Jesus simply spoke to that spirit And then she was able to straighten up. This is what we're going to have to be comfortable with. And many times we're going to have to work with the Lord, and we're going to have to work with the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I was at a meeting. This was here in Texas, and I had a bunch of people up front that I was ministering to. I don't particularly remember what I had called for, but I remember when I got in front of this lady, I asked her, was something wrong with her? I could just sense by the Lord that something was wrong with her. And she said, yes, I have sleep apnea. And she didn't have just a little sleep apnea. She had like major, like this had been a major component of her life for many years. Many doctors, hospital visits. She was the type that had the big head thing that she had to wear at night. It was very uncomfortable for her. Caused her to not be able to sleep. Well, as she was telling me the story, now I'm familiar with sleep apnea. I'm familiar with, you know, when you get involved in the healing ministry, you do some things, try to study out some things to know what happens with people. Many times sleep apnea comes from someone having an enlarged throat. There's sinus issues. There's physical things that can cause people to have sleep apnea. But I was standing in front of this lady, and she was telling her story. Just on the inside of me, just by the Spirit of the Lord, I perceived that it was a spirit of infirmity. And so because of that, I didn't need to pray for her throat or her tonsils. I didn't need to pray for her sinuses. I wasn't going to need to do a healing here. I was going to have to deal with the devil. And so I just took authority over that. You know, I didn't get saved too much. I just took authority over it, and she got gloriously delivered. I mean, she found me, her son found me a week later, contacted me to tell me the story, how she got gloriously delivered of something that had been an ailment for many, many, many years in her life, and she had been trying to deal with it, first of all, just naturally with the doctors physically, but then she'd just been trying to, you know, she'd had several people pray for her. And I think what it was that no one had just identified yet that the root of that was a devil. When the root of an ailment is the devil, the only way the ailment or the sickness or the disease is going is if the devil goes. And we have to know that. That's important that we know that. I remember another time I was ministering over in a meeting on the north side of Houston. And I was ministering that day on fear. I felt like the Lord had wanted me to share some things to help people get rid of fear. And so I had an altar call at the end, and people came up to be delivered. And I stepped in front of this lady and didn't say too much. The altar call was about dealing with fear. So I knew that people, you know, thought at this moment that they had fear that they needed to be dealt with. I ministered to her. She fell out on the floor in the spirit. Didn't think too much of it, just kept going, ministering to the other people. Well, all of a sudden, after the meeting, I'm standing over at the book table, and she comes over, and she's like, I can't believe it, I can't. She's like, I can't believe it, I can't believe it. And I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord, she feels like she got free. She said, no, I didn't just get free of fear. She said, my back pain left. She said, I've had extremely bad back pain for many long period of time. And she said, you didn't even pray for my back. How did that happen? And I said, I'll tell you how that happened. Your back pain was associated with that spirit of fear that had attached itself to your life. So we have to understand that what we do and can with the Lord help people get free if we can properly identify things that are going on. So root causes of demons. You know, there's really not a Bible method for knowing why a demon is manifesting in a person's life or trying to afflict them or messing with them really without a word of knowledge or something. But we can see that there are several key ingredients. Maybe we could say that there are sometimes issues or activities that become open doors in people's lives that will give the devil a place to mess with them or afflict with them. And so I'm going to run through a real quick list here. Now again, this is not saying every time you run up against this, you're going to see a spirit attached. But I'm saying these are, at times, can be causes. So you have to be sensitive. You have to be alert when you're dealing with people. One thing that we see can definitely cause demons and devils in people's lives is pride. When people get into pride, I mean, they get really messed up. And I have found that when people get into real pride, one thing that really, the devil has a place to speak to them and talk to them. And so a lot of times these are people that think they hear from the Lord all the time, or they know this, or they, and it's from a place of pride. And many times the devil is addressing that in their life. Also, unforgiveness and bitterness is a big one. Unforgiveness and bitterness. When you harbor unforgiveness towards someone for whatever reason, if you're bitter towards someone for whatever reason, that can cause a problem. I remember there was a lady one time years ago, she was attending our church for a while, and she was at one of our women's meetings, and at the end of the meeting, she asked if she could talk with me, and I said, sure. And she began to tell me that she had had this, she'd gotten out, it'd been about a year, she'd gotten out of this really bad relationship, and she just hadn't been able to let go of it, and she was very bitter about it. She had a real bitterness in her heart about the way that she had been treated and things had been done to her. And she said, I just know that it's not good for me, and I really want to let it go. I feel like I need to let it go. And so I said, great. Now, at this time, she didn't mention being sick, nothing about that. She just talked about that she had some bitterness and unforgiveness. And so we took hands, and I reminded her first that, you know, forgiveness is not about a feeling. You don't forgive because you feel like it. You forgive because you know it's the right thing to do, and that if we will forgive by faith from our heart as an action, that feelings will eventually come up in support of our forgiveness. And so I reminded her of that, and I said, now we're going to say some words, and when we say them, I'm going to have you repeat after me. I want you from your heart, just from your heart, to say them. And so I just simply led her in a prayer about letting the past go, forgiving him. You know, and she walked off. Well, about a month later, she was in a meeting, a Wednesday night meeting here at church, and she wanted to testify. And her testimony was this, that she had dealt with really, really bad arthritis. And she took medication daily for her arthritis. And that when she took her medication even daily, she still dealt every day with pain in her body. So she said about 2 weeks after we prayed that prayer at the women's thing, she said, my body started feeling funny. And she said, when I started recognizing that my body was kind of feeling a little off, she said, I realized that for about a week, I'd not had any pain in my body with the arthritis medicine. And she said, but as I was thinking about it, I just had this feeling that it was my arthritis medicine that was making me feel funny. And so she said, I decided to stop taking my arthritis medicine. And so now here it was another 2 weeks later. So now she'd been 3 weeks without any pain of arthritis. You know what happened for her? She got delivered from her arthritis because she forgave. Because she wasn't harboring that unforgiveness and that bitterness, which allowed that spirit of infirmity to attach to her and cause a problem for her. Here's another thing that can be an opening sometimes for demonic influence in people's life is abuse or trauma. Something from the past, could be sexual abuse, could be just a traumatic event that happens in the lives of people. I know one time I was in a place and was able to identify that a young girl, very, very young age girl, was dealing with a familiar spirit. And the reason she was dealing with a familiar spirit was from the trauma of losing her older sister. Her sister had died when she was about, I think her sister was maybe 4 when she died. And so she was about 2 years old, and that was very traumatic. They were very close sisters. And that the trauma of that opened something up and allowed the devil to get access to her life. I had another girl I dealt with one time that I knew had been through an experience as a young woman, had done her best to forget about that, had done her best to put that behind her. But one day I was ministering at her church and she came up and she began to tell me that she had been diagnosed several years back with fibromyalgia. Do you know what that is? So it's where you just, your body gets completely wrecked with pain. And she was a very young girl. I knew that was not normal. Well, as she was telling me, just by the Spirit, I knew that traumatic event years ago in her life had been the opening for her. And I knew that what was causing the fibromyalgia was a spirit of infirmity and that the root cause had been that trauma. And so I ministered to her in the name of Jesus, using the power of God, commanding that spirit of infirmity to loose her, let her go. And I told her right then, I said, now, I just knew this. I said, you know, for you, it's going to be 5 days I said, every day you're going to get better, but at the end of 5 days, you're going to see that you're totally free. And I told her, I said, in those 5 days, I said, I don't want you to acknowledge any pain. I don't want you to agree with that out of your mouth. Don't give the devil any right to come back. And she was going on a trip. She was leaving on a trip out of the country in 2 days. She said, can I still go on my trip? I said, absolutely. I said, but you just go with the right confession out of your mouth that you're free from the devil and fibromyalgia is gone. Well, she actually sent me a message from Switzerland at the end of the 5 day, of the morning of the sixth morning, that she was totally free. Every day she had gotten better and better and better. Praise the Lord. Come on, we identified the devil. Why, we even knew in that instance why it came in. And she was able to get free. Praise God. There are other things such as fear. Fear is an open door. If you allow fear to get in your life, fear can manifest and become, let things get attached to you. Feeble-mindedness, you know, not being sound in mind. An ungoverned mind. If you don't learn as a Christian to govern your thoughts, if you're constantly letting your mind be scattered all over the time, stress, worry, anxiety, it will mess up your mind. And it will give the devil a place to come and mess with you. Many mind afflictions are rooted in demonic things. Amen? So that's why we have the Word of God and we get to govern ourselves. We get to take our thoughts captive, pull them into the obedience of Christ. We don't have to lay in bed at night and worry, church. We don't have to be freaked out and anxious people all the time. We have the peace of God. But we have to go, it's all from the mind. So we have to make sure that we're keeping our mind sound. Sinful indulgences many times can open the door to devil. Willing rebellion can open the door to devil. Drugs certainly can open the door to devil. Parental neglect and habits that are formed in the early years of people's lives, many times those can be openings. When we don't know how to deal with those, we don't know what they are. Parents that aren't knowledgeable enough about the Lord, that don't keep a watchful eye over their children. Many perversions start in a child at a very early age, and if they're not taught that that's not right, that they can resist that, they'll grow up just thinking that's normal and kind of opening themselves up for allowing that spirit to really get active and at work in their life. Here's another one, hanging out with demonized people or around things that are demonic and opening ourselves up to them. I know recently we had a story about a church member here who had friended someone on Facebook somehow, and they were connecting and conversing, and this person was, I don't know if they said they were a Christian, but they were into all kind of weird stuff. And she knew they were into weird stuff, but she just kept hanging out with them and kept hanging out. Well, before you know it, she got sick. She got an excruciating headache that lasted for days. Then she got a high fever, couldn't get rid of her fever. And so she contacted me. And when she contacted me, she said something about this person. And when she said it, just in my heart, I knew this was it. That there was something of that person, some spirit from that person that was messing with her. And I told her, now you're gonna have to let that go. You're gonna have to not deal with her. Don't be friends with her. Don't hang out with her. Don't talk with her. And so I prayed for her. Well, in her heart, she hadn't disconnected yet. And she was praying and feeling really bad. The fever was still there. She said she'd gotten a little bit of relief when I'd first prayed, but still remained the next day, but she still connected in her heart. And she said all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, you must let go of that relationship. And when she did it, the fever and the headache instantly left. And she was never sick again. Praise the Lord. Come on, it matters who you hang out with and who you run around with. You can't out and be running around with a bunch of dirty, unholy stuff all the time and expect that some of that is not going to get on you. We have to keep ourselves clean and make sure that we remain in good relationships and things that are upright with the Lord. Also, participation in the occult. I mean, I know most of you would know this, you know, fortune telling, horoscopes, certainly satanic worship, witchcraft, spells, Eastern religions, many times yoga. Things like yoga, things like martial arts, depending on who is teaching them, those things are based. In an Eastern religion, their meditation techniques that they teach you of calming yourself from the inside is not Christian spiritual. I was babysitting one time a child, a friend of mine. I didn't know them that well. They were members of my church at the time. They needed to go somewhere. I said, I will be happy to take care of your child. The child was about 5 years old. I was at the house. I think there was another child there for some reason. It wasn't hers, but another child there. And we had been playing and doing things and running. And all of a sudden, I was sitting at the table, and the two children were playing on the floor. And the child of the friend that I was babysitting for leaned around the couch. And when that child leaned around the couch, it let out a sound that I knew was not normal. It came straight from the pit of hell. I knew it. And when I looked, I did my head like that and looked at them. They had this look on their face that was not human. And I went over there and I grabbed the spirit by the arm. And I rebuked it. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And instantly, she just back to normal. And so when the mother got home, I said, I need to have a conversation with you. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I brought out the devil. Okay. But what had happened was about a month prior to that, the mother had just had the child start participating in martial arts. It didn't take but just a month for that child to get demonized by that. We have to be careful with what we're hanging out with. And we have to be with people. When people are talking, when people are saying things, you know, we're checking on the inside. We're working with the Lord to know, is there something here I need to know? We're listening to what they're saying. Not that everything they're saying is going to tell you everything you need to know, but it does help you piece some things together. One time many years ago, I got a call. I'd been out of the country. I came back. My sister called me. She said that her friend had a daughter, and her friend's daughter, really, they thought was possessed. She was not a Christian. She did not know the Lord. She was an early teenager, and she was having all kind of demonic experiences, and her mother was wanting to know, you know, could I help her? And I said, well, what does the girl think? What does the teenager think about it? But it had escalated in her life to where it had finally frightened her. She really felt like she was frightened and at risk of her life. We're talking demonic things like her bed shaking at night. We're talking demonic things like her getting up in the middle of the night and things coming outside of her walls and pushing her downstairs. We're talking about wild, crazy stories. So I told my sister, tell her to call me. I'm thinking if she wants to get free, she needs to call me. And so she did. She called me and began explaining. At first, she was a little intimidated. She thought I was going to think she was crazy if I told her what was really going on with her. But I know how the devil works. I know that these things can be real. And so I let her tell some of the stories and how it was affecting her health was being affected. And I told her that I could help her get free. But come to find out, what really the root of the issue was that she was doing white magic. Because, you know, when I said I'm going to help you, I'm going to have to identify what's going on here so that we can identify what some of these doors are and get some of these doors closed so that we can really help people. And she thought that since white magic was that you didn't, quote, hurt anybody and you put nice spells on people, she thought, well, that was okay. And, I mean, she had books and everything. So she had just opened herself up to really, she was really possessed by the devil. She was possessed. Praise God, she did give her life to Jesus and got free and all that. Might talk more about that later. But just talking about some things that can open us up, being connected with Wicca, seances, hypnosis, even if it's at a comedy show. Oh, we're just having fun. It's just innocent. No, it's not. The devil, he'll get involved with stuff like that, and it really becomes an issue. Even idols, you know, having little statues that are too connected to, certainly praying to them or saying things to them or using them in wrong ways. Listen, spirits can get attached to objects. One time I was in Africa years ago. I think it was either my first or second trip there. And I had bought something while I was there. Not true. Let me correct that. I just remember the root of the thing. A friend of mine, a friend had been to Africa that year. And they came up to me and they said, when I was in Africa, I bought you something. And I was thinking, oh, well, that was nice, you know. And it was some type of a little picture. And it was rolled up. He gave it to me. It was a guy friend that I knew from actually aerobics. And he had rolled it up and put a rubber band around it. And so I brought it home that night. I was a single woman, brought it home that night. When I walked in through my back door, I had a little laundry room right there. And I just kind of casually threw it over there, thinking, well, later I'll look at it and I'll do something with it. But I just put it there. And I didn't really think about it, to be honest. Well, about a week went by, and the strangest thing was happening to me. When I, you know, me being a typically happy person, I would get home from work, and I would go into my house, and between getting in my door and getting into my living room, I would have this heavy, like really heavy, like depression try to come upon me. Now, I got delivered of depression when I got spirit-filled. There's several things I got delivered of. Depression was one of them, because my family, everybody in my family had it for years. You know, I'm talking about debilitating depression. I got rid of it. I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like when it knocks at my door. And I would just literally from walking in my door to the living room, I would have this heaviness come on me, try to come on me. And I would start using the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and get free and get it gone. But this went on for a week. And so finally, after a week, I was like, Lord, something's going on here. I mean, this is not normal. I mean, I'm not like that at work. It's always the same exact, you know, spot. And so I was walking through my house and I walked in that room. And when I walked in the room, I felt that same spirit of heaviness. And I looked over and I saw that thing from Africa wrapped up with the little rubber band around it. I took that rubber band, opened it up, and there it was. I mean, it was as demonic as all get out. The symbols, and so a spirit had attached itself to that. But the spirit wasn't content being on the paper, because spirits want to afflict people, and so it was coming at me. Well, you know what I did, right? I mean, I burnt it like really quick. I mean, like I went outside at that point. It didn't matter if I was at risk of catching the whole backyard on fire or not. I mean, it was going down. I didn't care, if he'd given it to me. I wasn't going to try to pray it out because, this thing is not good and it's got to go. Praise the Lord, he never asked me about it again, so I didn't have to really say anything. But anyway, so there are things that, activities, that can cause doors and entrance for people's lives. And we need to just kind of be aware of some of these things as we're helping people. If we're going to be effective in the healing ministry, including deliverance, then we're going to have to be able to identify and detect things like this. How do we detect demons? So I'm going to give you the only three ways that I really know that something demonically can be detected. Number one is what we would call seeing in the spirit. It's called in the Bible discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the spirit. You can't make it come. It's just an operation. And it's where you become aware of something in the spirit realm. You either see something in the spirit. Your spiritual eyes are open and you see a demon. Okay, there's a good discerning of spirits sometimes when you see angels. That's an operation of the discerning of spirits. Seeing angels, but also seeing demons. So you can see them. Sometimes you can hear them. Discerning of a spirit. This is not you're perceiving something. You know that it's a devil, because when that little girl poked her head around the couch and spoke in that demon voice, I knew that it was a devil. In that moment, there was no questioning. And I don't know if in the natural she sounded like that. I don't know that. But what my ear heard was that demon voice. Okay? So you can see things. You can hear things. Sometimes you can smell. I have smelled. How many of you have ever smelled a demon? Y'all come right up close to, I mean, it's the most putrid Okay, that's a discern. That's helping you know that something evil is right here. And we're going to have to deal with that in this moment. There are, at times, you can actually feel something. They can grab you. They can, I've had winds come by me before where I could feel the wind of them moving. Those are all discerning of spirits. That's one way that you can detect if somebody's dealing with the devil. Another way is that you hear a word from the Holy Spirit. You know, you're standing there with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God tells you there's a spirit of infirmity here. There's a spirit of fear. You know, you know something from the Holy Spirit. Not perceiving it, but you actually hear the Holy Spirit tell you, okay? Many times I've had that happen where the Holy Spirit will actually tell me. The third way is just perceiving. It's not that you hear a word. It's not that you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, but you just perceive. That's like the lady with the sleep apnea. I just kind of perceived. I just knew in my knower. I don't know how. Didn't get a word. I just knew. So we can perceive that demons are present. Now we have to understand that all of these are real. All of them are spiritual, and they all work, okay? They are all of the Spirit. They are not of your head. They are not from your mind. You can't make them appear. You can't make them up. I mean, you can make them up, but it won't be real. Did you hear what I said? Because I've seen this done before, where people are trying to do something, and they're trying to look really spiritual, and they'll say, you know, there's a demon here, and I'm thinking to myself, it ain't. And it ain't going to work. We don't do that. We don't make things like that up, all right? We got to be effective. We got to be skillful. We got to be accurate. But these things are spiritual, so the key to operating in these type of things is to be strong spiritually. So the sharper you are spiritually, the more sensitive you are spiritually, the more you've got the Word of God alive and active in you, the more you're filled up and full of the Holy Spirit, will be the greater chance of these things being able to operate in you. So we see in Acts chapter 16, why don't y'all turn there? But you got to know, if you're gonna deal with the devil, you have to know it's there. You can't just pick something out of the air and hope. We don't do that. If you cast it out, you're casting it out because you know it's a devil and you're expecting that that's going to work. Acts chapter 16, this is a very common account that we know of Paul. Verse 16 and 18, it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days." Look at that. She did it for many days. It says, "But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned to her and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." So here she'd been doing this for days. What was Paul waiting on? What was Paul waiting on? I mean, he knew she was a fortune teller. He knew she probably had a spirit. But it said it went on for many days, and it annoyed him. But all of a sudden, so one of two things, or both of these happened in this moment, is that either in that moment, Paul perceived something. He perceived the strong man. He perceived that it was a spiritual something. And in that moment, once he perceived it, once he knew it, however that came, he's like, "Now I can deal with it." Second thing that might have happened is that Paul got authority to deal with it. We have to have authority to deal with the devil. Now, in your own life, you can have authority at any time, but when you're dealing with other people, and you're dealing with other people toward you, you're dealing with other people with sickness, other things going on, you have to have authority. You have to have been, one, given permission or something from God in a moment. And if you don't have authority and you start going after devils that you don't have authority to deal with, I want to tell you that you're opening yourself up for a fight you don't want to have. I had a friend one time, this was years ago, but there was this psychic place, and it was kind of near his house. And so he just got this wild idea, not from God, But he got this wild idea that he was going to take on this the devils of this psychic place. And he started going over there and getting out on the proper. He was not led of the Spirit to do this. He just thought, well, you know, hey, I know there's devils over there. Don't get into spiritual pride like that. And he started going over there, and he would stand on the property, and he would, you know, he was doing all this stuff. And I want to tell you how his life got messed up. I mean, messed up for several months till he figured out, you know what, that he didn't have authority to deal with that. And he better leave it alone. And the minute he left it alone, life went right back to normal for him. So we do have to have authority. When we're dealing with people, we have to have authority. We have to let them help us. But when we're dealing people in front of us, people that we want to help get free, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. All those ways that I told you that we know, they come by the Spirit. So the main thing we have to do is we have to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. And we have to trust that he'll help us, that he'll share with us, tell us what we need to know. Because we can't make it up. We can't make it happen ourselves. We can't figure it out ourselves. It's got to come from the Lord. Now, I know that many of you know the story of Brother Hagin, and where the Lord told him in one of the visitations that he had with the Lord, he said, when you get in front of somebody and you're dealing with them, if they have an evil spirit, he said, you're going to feel fire jump from one hand to the other hand. And he said, that's how you're going to know that they have an evil spirit. And that's how you'll know how to deal with that, because that's dealing with it differently from just laying hands on someone to be healed or whatever. Brother Hagin knew that, okay? Well, you know, I recognized myself after several years of being in the healing ministry and doing some things with the Lord. Just one day I was like, you know, Lord, I feel like I need to be more skillful. I need to be better at identifying a devil. I need to be better at this. Why? Because I want people to get free. I want people to get help. I don't want people to stand in front of me or to meet me on the street or to pray for them at the store. I don't want to stand in front of them and realize that I missed something. And so I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Not so that I could have something, but because I wanted to see people free. I felt like there had been times before when I ministered to somebody that I was trying to detect, is this a devil or is it not a devil? And I'm not going to say it's a devil if I don't know it's a devil, because if they're knowledgeable at all about the Lord, then they're going to expect you to cast it out and it go. And if it wasn't a devil, then there was no devil to go and nothing is going to change. And that can be very, very damaging for people. And so I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Lord, I need to be better at this. I need to know. I need you to give me something. I need you. And then I remembered Brother Hagin's story. And I was like, hey, Lord, you told Brother Hagin that you for him to be skillful, that you'd let fire. I said, no, I don't need fire. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But if you did it for him, then I want you to do it for me. I want you to give me something. I want you to give me something. And so I remember the very first time I was dealing with someone at the church. They came and I was ministering to them, and I was in this place of trying to detect, was this demonic, this illness that they had, was it demonic? And all of a sudden I said something to them, and when I looked up and said something to the person, I must have asked them a question. It felt like I went through them. It felt like my words went through them. It felt like I was looking through them, like there wasn't substance. I don't know how to explain it. It's spiritual. Well, I didn't really know what that was. And so I just kind of ministered to them the best I could. And then a week later, they called me back to tell me that they had gone to the doctor and gotten a diagnosis. And the minute they got the diagnosis, I knew that it was a spirit of infirmity. And instantly the Holy Spirit brought up to me that when I spoke to them, my words went kind of through them. And so what I started noticing was that's one that works for me a lot. When I get in front of somebody that has something demonic and I say something to them, it's like the substance of them kind of diminishes, and either my words go through them, or, I know it's just a little odd, but I'm thankful. Because what it's helped me do, not every time, but a lot of times, and it's helped me be able to identify more when I've got a devil standing in front of me that has to be cast out. Amen? So we do have to look for the Lord and work with Him and desire these things. We need to desire. Yeah, listen, there are a lot of devils in America. There are a lot of devils in Houston. There are a lot of devils, a lot of people that you don't even know yet. And getting someone free of a devil doesn't have to be done in a church. It doesn't have to be done at an altar. It doesn't have to be done in front of people. It can be done just one-on-one. I mean, you're just sitting with someone. And you just recognize that there's a demonic root there. And you have the tools to get them free. So we do have to want to be able to help people in this area, want to be able to identify. However, on the other hand, you cannot be overly devil conscious. You cannot be looking for a devil and analyzing a devil and is there a devil here? I'm going to see about. No, you can't do that. You'll mess yourself up and you'll mess people up too. All right? So we have to remember you're not trying to be devil conscious and look for them all the time, but you do need to be sensitive for when one might be present and you need to deal with them. And if you're dealing with it with someone, also be sensitive to how you're dealing with them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't start, you lying devil. You know, if it's somebody, they're going to be like, what? I mean, you can do something much more. You know, now in the name of Jesus, I take authority. You know, seriously. I've seen all of these things at work. I remember one time I was in a meeting over in Baytown, and I wish every meeting could be like that meeting. Woo, it was so fun. But I knew that something was going to happen in the healing area, and I just asked people to come up that needed to be healed. And I just got in this flow with the Lord where the instant I would step in front of somebody, the Lord would tell me what was wrong with them. I mean, I didn't have to ask him. It was just amazing. Just the word of knowledge would come at that moment. But I remember this one particular lady, I stood in front of her, and the minute I got in front of her, she had feet that were swollen. She was kind of a bigger lady. You know, in your head, you would be thinking, and the Lord said, feet problems. That's all he said was feet problems. And I knew that something was wrong with her feet. You know, people would be thinking diabetes. There's all these medical reasons. But I just knew in that moment that it was a spirit of infirmity. And I mean, I cast that thing out. And I mean, she went down on the floor. And when she got up, her ankles were not swollen. And she was happy dance. I mean, it was just glorious. I remember one time at the church, I was trying to help someone. That had a lot of issues, had some medical issues, had some mental issues. And I had set up a time where I was meeting with them once a week. And I kind of in my heart, I was kind of thinking this is probably demonic. You know, it probably is. But I didn't really know for sure yet. I didn't really feel like I'd gotten something from the Lord yet to deal with it. And so I was standing one day, she had come into the office and she was standing in the hall and I was standing out doing something, washing my hands for some reason, and I was fixing to go in the hall to meet with her to go to my office to have our meeting. And as I was washing my hands, she said something, but when she said it, what I heard was a demon. I didn't hear her voice. I mean, I knew her very well. I'd had a lot of meetings with her. But it wasn't her that spoke. It was the devil that spoke. And so I went like this and looked at her. And she's just talking normally. I mean, she's just talking, but it's the devil. It's not even her voice anymore. I heard in the spirit. And so when she came in my office, I just told her, I said, now all these things that we're dealing with, it's a devil. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to deal with it. Because I knew, because I heard the devil speaking. Another instance here, of being just led by the Spirit, you know, just in the perceiving, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just lead you into something that will help. I remember I had a child come up at a meeting. This was also in Texas, and his mother brought him up, and he was a very young boy, and he had a lot of behavioral problems, and he had already been expelled out of kindergarten, like multiple times, and he was just kind of out of control, and the mother couldn't figure out what, you know, why he was so bad and misbehaved all the time. And so I was listening to her talk, and I just looked down at him. And when I looked down, just by the leading of the Holy Spirit, just by the leading of the Spirit, I opened my mouth and I said to the little boy, I said, say for me, I love you, Jesus. And he went like this. I said, say, I love you, Jesus. Then he got mad. Then the scowl came on his face. Well, what it was demonic. All the issues that were going on with him were demon-based. And so I got down on my knees, and I cast the devil out of him. And he got totally free. Countenance changed. He could not say, I love you, Jesus, because he had a devil. So the Spirit of God will lead you in the right thing to say, in helping you identify what you're dealing with so that you can be effective. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some of the conditions. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 9. Again, these are not all 100% every time, but we're looking for patterns. We're looking for things that can help us in our being skillful. Some of the conditions that we, when we see these type things, we know it's possible that there is a demon operating here. So Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29, this is the account of the father that had the son. And I just want to point out some of the key words that because his son was basically tormented by a devil. And so at the end, Jesus helped get him free. But I want you to see these words because these are some of the types of things that you'll see. Verse 18 there says, it seizes him. It throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. Verse 20 says, it convulses him. That scripture, that same verse also says he wallowed. Verse 22 says it throws him both into the fire and into the water. So destructive type behavior where people are doing things to themselves that is destructive many times is a condition that will show up when they're dealing with the devil. Also over in verse 26, it says as one as dead. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with the devil, I remember when we were in Haiti one year on our mission trip and Elaine and Patrick and Allison and a bunch of us were there and Pastor Chaz and I were up on the stage. We had like a big turnout that night, like 2,500 people were, you know, out there and things were going on and we had preached and we were helping people and so we had let the team go out, you know, to minister to people and they found this lady that was, I mean, probably possessed and they cast the devil out of her. And when they cast the devil out of her, she fell down on the ground as one dead. And so they're all standing around her like, oh my God, you know, but finally she came back to life, but praise God, she got free. I mean, these things are still happening today. And we have to be aware of these. We have to be know that we can deal with these things. We don't want to just be like a partial Christian where we just do 20% of the works of Jesus. We want to do all of the works of Jesus, don't we? And so I'm going to give you some other conditions that you'll see many times. Mark chapter 5 is another good example, the madman of the Gadarenes, verses 1 through 17. You can see that he was unclothed. Pastor Chaz says it all the time. The devil always make you want to take your clothes off. It's true. It says that he was untame. He was not in his right mind. He had like this really wild supernatural strength whereby he could rip off chains. Another part of that scripture says he was crying out all the time. Another part of that scripture says that he was cutting himself. So these are things that we see. Let me give you some other conditions. Many times delusional thoughts and imaginations, like people that think they've committed the unpardonable sin and can't let go of it. People that, I have demons and I can't get rid of them. These, you know, in their mind, I have no reason to live. I have no reason to live. I can't forgive. Just things of the mind where they get obsessed with this one thought or this one imagination that people are after them, that people, governmental. Do I need to go there into all those? Do I really need to go there into conspiracy theories and you know, aliens and monsters and apocalypse stuff and all those kind of things. Then you've got people that have voices talking to them. But any abnormal distractions of the mind, I've had people before that they're just determined that people are after them or out to get them or just things. Many times these are conditions of what you see of someone that is dealing with the devil. Many mental disorders. Now, I'm not saying that every time someone has a mental illness that it's spirit-based, but many times it is. And I want to tell you what the world does. The world wants to give everything a medical name with a medical reason so that the church will think it's medical and we don't need to deal with it. Because you can deal with something that's demon-based through prayer and through all kinds of things all day long, but ain't nothing, this is Texas talk, ain't nothing going to happen until you deal with the devil. So when we start realizing that people that many times ADD, ADHD, bipolar stuff, certainly schizophrenia stuff, sometimes Alzheimer's, some of these things can be demonically driven. And if we want to see people get free, how many of you do? I do. We're going to have to be honest about recognizing that there's potential, at least be sensitive in this area, and not just say just because the medical field has tagged a medical name on it, that it is what it is. Amen? Obsessive compulsive behaviors, you know, when people have to wash their hands 7 times before they leave the house, or they have to check the door 14 times. Those things, they can be demonic. Nervousness, panic attacks certainly can be driven by demons. Autism at times is demonically based. Sometimes extreme nightmares, I call them tormenting nightmares. I'm not just talking about having a bad dream. I'm talking about really, really bad things and things that happen often. Those things can be of the devil and they need to be dealt with. And all these things, of course, are openings so that they get entrance and access into people's lives so that they afflict, they make sick, all kinds of things. Epilepsy, seizures, depression, tics, people... Ticks, those are usually demonic. Cutting, that girl that I helped, that teenage girl, she was a cutter, constantly cutting herself. That fits into that destructive behavior. When people are destructively doing, when you see people that are doing things, even if it's the popular culture, when they're doing things to their body that make them look weird and distorted, what happens is they get addicted to that because it's demonic. Because there's a spirit that's attached to that. Many times speech disorders, sometimes, not always, but they can be. Maniacal behavior, when people are acting crazy. That girl that was into the white magic that I helped get free, she would have all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, you know, not just the devil throwing her down the stairs and all that, but she would have fits of rage where she would grab knives in her house and be chasing her mother around the room with knives, and her mother would have to hide in the closet. She had instances where the car would be going 60 miles an hour and she would try to open the door and jump out. I mean, she was really possessed, greatly possessed. And it came through something so innocent. But, when you see people that have really wild behavior like that, there's a chance there's a devil behind that. Extreme fits of rage. You know, many times when people end up murdering somebody and things like that, it's because they have a spirit attached. Exhaustion and lifelessness can be a sign of a devil when they're unable to speak the name of Jesus. So sometimes, you know, when you're ministering to people, just open your mouth and let God fill it. You'll have the right question to ask. Sometimes they can't talk about the blood of Jesus. I knew someone for many years that dealt with a heavy demonic influence in her life. Even though she was saved, even though she was filled with the Spirit, she just had a lot of trauma as a young girl, and she just hated when we would talk about the blood of Jesus. She would just tell me, don't sing about the blood. Don't sing about the blood. She just hated it. The devil hates the name of Jesus. The devil hates the blood of Jesus. Many times when people are not able to pray to receive Christ, many times when they're not able to pray in tongues. I had a guy one time, I was ministering, and a guy came up, and he wanted to be filled with the Spirit, and he just wanted to be filled with the Spirit. And he was telling me, he says, but I can't do it, I can't do it, I just can't do it. You know, first of all, I'm thinking, okay, now he's got that one thought. And as he's standing there, I'm thinking, And so I just began to ask him some questions about his life. Well, he had actually murdered somebody. And he still had that. I could tell when he was talking that he still had that spirit in him. And so I was asking him some questions. Do you ever still feel a lot of rage? He was saved, wanted to be, but he couldn't get filled with the spirit until we got the devil gone. I mean, we cast the devil out of him. He went down on the ground. I want y'all to know when he came up, he didn't even look like the same guy. The minute he got up, for years he tried to get filled with the Holy Spirit. But he had a spirit. He had a devil he was dealing with. We had someone one time. Sometimes when things start happening weird to your body, like this happened with a church member one time that couldn't eat meat. Every time they started eating meat, they would like it would make them sick. They couldn't figure out why. You know, they'd eat meat all their life. But actually, Angelo Metropolis was here ministering. And they came up to tell him, and he said, oh, that's a devil. And he just dealt with the devil, and instantly it left. And they could eat meat all over again. Isn't that weird? I mean, why would the devil care about you eating meat? I don't know. But maybe if that person went too long without eating meat, it would cause some issues. Maybe they wouldn't have enough iron. I don't know. But the devil just wants a way to mess with you. And so what he'll do sometimes, he'll just be real subtle. And we just kind of get comfortable. We can't get comfortable with the devil. Nothing about the devil can we get comfortable with. I had a guy one time in another country that came up to minister. I was doing a youth meeting. It was all young people. And he came up, and when he came up, he said to me, he said, I just want to kill myself. I always just want to kill myself. I don't know why I want to kill myself, but I just want to kill myself. I always want to kill myself. I mean, he just kept on saying it. And you know what I did, right? I cast a devil out of him. And he got totally free. A year later, I was back ministering at that same place. And he was totally free and had never, ever had another suicidal thought. Just one moment of getting someone free of the devil. I was in another country one time where... this guy was demon possessed, and he was doing all sorts of crazy things. He was not in his right mind. He couldn't, his father was telling us he couldn't really articulate normal sentences and put together a normal sentence structure. He was just full of the devil. I mean, it was a bad situation. You see all these kind of things in people. Sometimes when people get in the presence of the Lord, the devil will manifest. Sometimes it will come out. Sometimes they hide. They don't always just hide, not because the anointing's not strong enough. That's not. When they have a place in a person that allows them to hide, they'll hide. I learned something about the devil. I learned something about demons. And it's this, that they're more interested in their control than they are in their recognition. They're not interested in creating a big scene all the time to be recognized. They'd much rather hide. Because they know that when they create a scene, it's possible that somebody like you might be around and know that, perceive that, and are able to help somebody get free of that. That particular boy in that country was, when they brought him, what happened was we were in a meeting. We were in a church meeting. I think for hours. This is one of those countries that it's like hours. The church meeting is hours long. And the father had brought him, and at some point toward the end, they decided that they were going to cast the devil out of him, or they were going to help him. And so they brought him up. And, I mean, he was foaming at the mouth. His eyes were rolling and flittering. He was crying out. He was twisting, turning. As a matter of fact, they sat a chair down. Now, I was one of the guest ministers, two ministers, me and my friend from the United States, and the rest of them were from this particular country. And we were sitting over on the side, and they brought the boy down. He's probably 15, and they try to sit him in the chair. And he's like all over the place. He is like the devil is not happy. And the men are having trouble. Four men. They have four men and they're trying to hold him down in the chair. And he is all over the place, okay? And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, this, you know, Lord, let's help him. And so they begin all this stuff. I don't know, stuff. But it wasn't working. I mean, it's like they were trying everything. You know, they were shouting, but I could tell that nothing was not rooted yet in a real authority. When you deal with the devil, listen, you got to outlast the devil. Sometimes you got to get right in the devil's face. I mean, it's you and the devil, and it's like you're going down and I'm not, and I will stay here until you go down. I mean, it has to get that serious. And so, you know, they were throwing out words and they were doing stuff, and I mean, it was just the devil was just making a scene. And you know, it was a church service. There were hundreds of people sitting there watching this thing, and it just, you know, before you know it, it really began to irritate me. It began to irritate me for the boy's sake, because I'm thinking, it ain't going to happen. I mean, like this, we'd already been at this, I'm not kidding you, like 20 minutes, and nothing was happening, and so that was it. I mean, I couldn't stand it, so nobody asked me, but I just got up. And I just went over there in the midst of all the men, excuse me, and I went, excuse me, and I just pushed them apart. No, I didn't do that because something in me was like, I am determined that before I leave here, this boy is going to be free. I mean, I got over there, and at first, you know, I put my hands, and he's, and I'm thinking, devil, oh, devil, I'm not leaving here. No, and I just begin to get after it. Just a few words straight from my heart, but nothing was moving me because I knew the devil was going down. Guess what? He went down. It took me about 5 sentences, but it took me about 10 minutes just standing in front of him until he completely went like this. So, you know, he got less and less. The eyes stopped rolling, the mouth stopped foaming, until finally then he went like this. And I knew he was free. I knew he was free at that moment. Even though I didn't know anything about his mind, even though I didn't know anything about his speech, I knew that the devil was gone. And they called me like an hour later, after we finally got through the whole service, they called me an hour later to tell me that he was completely in his right mind for the first time in years. Could talk, sentence structure, just completely normal. You know, when devils start manifesting, first of all, don't give them the show. I've had people take people out of rooms. I was in a line one time administering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was just going in front of people and helping them, and I got right in front of this lady, and I went to, do you? And she swung like this to hit me in the face. But praise God for the Holy Ghost, because I ducked. I ducked. And I told the ushers, I said, take her to the back room and somebody get the devil out of her. She manifested the devil right there, but I wasn't going to stand there at the altar. I had lots of people that needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to stand right there. I just said, take them to the back room. You know, we need to be able to do that here, right? Sometimes I just say, you know, Tanisha, take them to the back room. So don't let them get the last word. Don't let them talk. You stay in control of the situation, most definitely. I've been in meetings where people all of a sudden started manifesting. I've had people slithering on the floor like a snake. I mean, where they're like animal-like, you know, roaring like lion. I mean, really, like, you know, this stuff is real. And again, the whole goal is that we got to help. People need help. How tormenting to live like this. Is this helping you? It is true that with the devil, you have to outlast him. I remember one time, to my last story of the night, but this is another one of those stories. I was ministering, and I had a line, and I had a bunch of people, and you know, you learn from these things. I had a bunch of people at the altar, and so I was ministering, doing the best I could, and I got in front of this girl, and I put my hands on her. I don't really remember at the time sensing anything, whatever, but it was, I remember I was ministering on healing. And so I knew she needed healing, and so I just put my hands on her, you know. I'm thinking, well, I put my hands, I said something, I'm thinking that the power of God in me is going to touch her and she'll be healed, and I keep going, and I'm further down the line, and all of a sudden she's moved from over there and she's back here again, and I'm like, okay. Well, this time when I stepped in front of her, I detected a spirit in her. So I must have missed it the first time. And I, you know what? I'm thankful that she chased me down the line again. But I began to minister to her, and she had a spirit of fear. It was from her mother, was very heavily involved in the occult, and all this kind of stuff. But what had happened was she had fibromyalgia. She was a very young girl. She had aches all over her body. She had not slept a complete night in like several years. I think it was 2 to 3 years. She could not. She would go to bed at night, and then things would show up in her room, and she would have bad nightmares, and she was just a mess. And so when she came up, she came up to be healed, but praise God, she recognized that it didn't work or something, and so she got over here in front of me, and so by this point, I'm realizing she's got a devil, and the only way she's going to get well is for me to get rid of the devil. And so I'm telling her, now listen. You know, I'm capturing her attention. I'm gonna get the devil out of you. And then it's like all of a sudden she just disappeared and it was me and the devil. And I'm like, the devil's going out. In this moment, the devil's gonna depart. It's like I was trying to convince her to believe that what I was, remember what Pastor Chas said? Sometimes you gotta build their faith. And I started telling her, greater is he that's in me than he that's messing with you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's messing with you. And then all of a sudden, I'm just there with the devil. Greater is he that's in me than you. Greater is he that's in me than you. And I ministered to her. She fell out on the floor. She got up. I didn't know at that point if anything had happened for her in her body, but I knew one thing. I knew the devil had gone. When you start getting familiar with detecting devils, you'll know whether they're gone or they're not. Now, people do have to be willing to let them go. But I knew that the devil had gone. And so she came back the next night to the next meeting, and her testimony was this, is that she went home, she got up, she still felt bad, still had aches all over her body, you know. She went home, laid down in bed, went to sleep. She said when she went to sleep, she started like to have a nightmare. She said it was like, I don't know how to describe it other than it was just like, 1 second to know that it was going to be a nightmare. And then she said, I sat up straight in bed. And when I sat up, she said, hot oil ran completely down the top of my body all the way. And she said, every fear, every anxiety, everything just went completely out of me. And as it did, my body was completely healed. She said, I laid down and slept for an entire night, not done that in years. And she said, today I have no pain. I never prayed for her pain to go. I never addressed the pain in her body. I never addressed the sickness because I knew the sickness was attached to the spirit of infirmity. So we're going to have to get skillful in detecting the devil and helping people get free. And it doesn't all, you know, it doesn't have to be someone who's foaming at the mouth and their eyes rolling back. But a lot of people are afflicted. And we have the answer to be able to help them. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't get through all my stuff, but maybe I'll finish up next week. And then we're going to do the power connection. Talk about getting the power of God. And don't think you're just going to sit in your chair and me do all the work. Absolutely not. Hallelujah. I do think, just want to remind you that part of working with the Lord in these things is really having a desire to see people get free. And I think that sometimes particular ailments and particular things just, they need to be prayed into. I mean, sometimes just sitting down and saying, Lord, I'm just going to pray for the captives to be set free. And just start praying. Just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Let the Lord lead you. And then you might figure out that you're praying for people that have schizophrenia or you're, you know, and who knows, you might run across one the next week. You might not, but you might. But that's how the Lord knows that we're serious about connecting with Him and wanting to do the works, is that if we'll pray into some of these situations. So maybe we'll do that a little bit next week before we close out this section. Maybe we'll pray into. I believe that the church needs to pray into some of these areas that the church has not seen the greatest breakthrough. Bipolar and schizophrenia. We've had some success, but not enough. Not enough. And I believe we're going to have to pray in. We're going to pray into it. I mean, we're going to have to just be purposeful. Listen, either the name of Jesus is greater than, or it's not. And nothing. Either the name of Jesus is greater than everything named, or it's not. And so we can't continue to just throw, you know, Alzheimer's over. Whether it's a healing, whether it's just a healing, or whether it's just a, they need to be free of a spirit, who knows? But I'm just saying, we're going to have to pray into some of these things. Time for the church to do that.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.